After a very long hiatus, I am very pleased to announce that I got my man Joe Tibaldi back on the podcast for another episode of Jammin' with Joe. If you're unfamiliar with Joe, Joe is the founder of Flex. Flex is a digital headquarters for brands in the fitness and wellness space. It is the only webpage and CRM that I have used ever. And Joe is simply, Joe's a guy that I pay for consulting. He is one of the savants, in my opinion, when it comes to brand, marketing, storytelling. He's a wealth of knowledge, and you get him high, which is exactly what we did. He came over to my house. We had a few cocktails. We smoked a little smoky smoke, and we had great fucking conversation. I don't know. I think this thing's like an hour long, but I think you guys are really going to enjoy the conversation we had and the way Joe breaks down the brand, the business, and your audience. It was unlike whatever it's different than anything how I've framed it up in the past. So I always enjoy that unique, different perspective. So guys, enjoy this episode of Jammin' with Joe and go check out Flex, FLEXX.co. What he's built over there, in my opinion, is second to none. All right, enjoy. What is up, guys? It is Stu. And it's another episode of the What the Fuck Gym Talk podcast, Jammin' with Joe. It's your birthday, buddy. Happy birthday.
Thanks, man.
How old are you?
36.
36. I'll be 38 in 9 days.
What was the best thing in your 37th year of life? Because this is my technical, right? This is my 37th year of life.
I don't know. The best year, but 27 was the best. I was living in Nashville.
Since then, it's been just
it's just too fast. It's just all like, I feel like I just got the Charlotte. Okay. So Joe's birthday, Joe came over. We are enjoying the inhalation of the combustion of the cannabis leaf, and we're just deciding to talk some shop. So I asked you what you want to talk about today. You said you want to talk about brand and business. Go figure. Joe wants to talk about brand.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, I want to talk about the fact that now it's cool to talk about brand, and I think I kind of was maybe a little bit before the wave.
I feel I still, like, at least in my world, it's in the gym owner thing. It's still not, and truly with the hyper local gym, your brand matters, but it's such a small target market you have to capture of like 300 to 600 people, like on, depending on the wave of the size of the facility. And group fitness is so transactional. You don't solve a real problem minus socialization. Like most people going to group fitness facilities they're not dying. It's not obesity. It's not like I have to do this or else my life is going to shit. Most people just do it because they just enjoy it. It's fickle. It's a hobby. So it's just one of those things where it's like, is it your brand or is it your location, AKA convenience, your culture, you know, which is part of the brand too. Like kind of like the kind of workout you do and the kind of people that work out there, which again is part of the brand, but it's, we did the Self-Made Summit and brand's been a ton of like, I truly believe in the power of brand and the ability to influence someone to make a decision based on a thing that you've created and a mindset you put in their head. But I still, like, at least from the small business owner in the fitness sector, it's still, I don't think it's on anyone's top three things that they think of doing in any given day.
And that just speaks to the short-term nature of what people think of as a business. In my opinion, you get to build businesses in any way you want. No one can tell you that this is the right or wrong way. You could just do it here, at least. And the business doesn't need a brand to operate, right? The business needs an offer. The business just needs a way to transact with an audience. So you don't actually need a brand to be a business.
Do you believe the brand is, but it happens inevitably because branding is just what you do consistently.
Well, this to me is the question, right? Where does it all have to start? It has to start with a shared language. We have to both say brand and mean the same thing.
Sure.
And right now I think that most people struggle to define it and that's why they say it doesn't matter.
What's your definition of it?
Reputation in motion.
Okay. Mine is, I steal it from, why am I going to draw a blank?
What people say about you when you're not in the room?
No, it's, I want to make sure he's my favorite. Yeah. Marty Neuermeyer, a brand is a person's gut instinct about a product, company, service, whatever. Just their gut instinct either way.
And so if it's their gut instinct, what does their gut instinct do for them in their life?
What is their gut instinct? Oh, their gut instinct, you know, you see something and you instantly feel a thing about it.
And so in some way it navigates the decisions
Correct.
You make.
Yes.
So wouldn't it be the most important thing to be able to control the thing that makes people make decisions?
Correct. So like, for example, what's the really good example? Like, what was the one I heard recently? It was about Rihanna and Fendi, I think. Everybody, you ever watch her Rihanna say, okay, let's use a different example. What, the one you always hear, if Nike opened up a hotel, you know what kind of hotel
it would be. Yeah, sure.
If Hyatt made a shoe, you got no fucking idea what kind of shoe it would be. In that regard, when someone goes to purchase a product or service and the thing, they have a feeling about it. So if it's like me, if I made a whiskey, mm-hmm. right? And it was called, the name of the beer was like, Fuck Your Mother Rye.
Wait,
right?
Is it a whiskey or a beer? We need to
know.
It's
a whiskey.
It's a whiskey.
It's called Fuck Your Mother, bourbon. Okay. It would make sense and you'd feel away and be like, like the person who would drink that is someone who would buy it and give it to their friend because it says Fuck Your Mother on it, right? Mm-hmm. Like they'd have that sick, silly sense of humor that I probably share with them. The person who looked at that and be like, why are you swearing at me on a bottle? I don't quite understand. Like someone who just doesn't get... the way, so like for me and my
and
brand,
whose
like
fault
talking
is
about
that.
And then that's no one's because a brand, if someone just doesn't pick vibe with what you're putting down, they're not picking it up. But that's the beautiful thing is you can't make someone vibe with your brand. You can only try to influence it and put it out there. And the more specific you make something like Fuck Your Mother is a very specific language that's going to strike a chord of 51% and the other 49 are going to hate it. But that's branding. Being like, if it was just called, really good whiskey for the price, bourbon, whatever. Like everyone would like a really good whiskey for the price.
So comparatively, those are both offers, right? So here's how I look at it. You can have brand without business. You can have business without brand. And when they're together, it makes it last a lot longer because the natural byproduct of a good brand is a healthy business.
So there's plenty of people. Okay, so the natural byproduct, if you work on it, yeah, draw away, Joe. Draw away.
All right. So here.
Joe's drawing currently on my
brand.
My big board here. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what is a brand? It's a mission and a vision.
So Joe's written up brand, business, and audience.
So we have a brand as a mission and a vision.
This audience is hating the sounds right now, Joe.
That's okay. They're going to love it in a minute. All right, so the brand is the mission and the vision, plus the product and the service. And then that gets transferred into the business, and the business's job is to come up with an offer, and the offer is transacted into the transactional audience, right? So this is how you build a business. So a business itself is made up of offers, right? So the brand can come up with all of this stuff, but it has to go through the business to make it transactional money-wise.
Yeah. You have to sell shit. Yeah.
So businesses are meant to make money.
Yeah.
Brands are meant to build audience. So you say, well, wait a second, Joe. I don't need to build a brand, right? What you're saying is, hey, the offer that is local is good enough because these people are fickle customers, and therefore they don't actually care why you're doing what you're doing. And what I say is, you're right.
Yeah, like
that's
you,
not
I don't
the only
believe
audience.
In Simon Sinek's like the three circles. I don't believe it's has to mean that. I don't think everyone cares why.
That's true. I just only consider that one third of your audience potentially. So the next part is what we call the supportive. All right, so we have the supportive audience. So who is the supportive audience? It is probably less, but it could be more.
So supportive audience, some people who transactionally purchase.
Never transact. And they never transact. So they never pay you money.
They're the lurkers.
Are the people that watch things like me and have a really strong opinion about how products are made and how things are done. And when you turn to me and you say, hey, Joe, should I buy this Rode microphone or this Bose speaker? I go, oh, no, you need this. And you don't even question it. I watch you do it. You go into Amazon, you buy whatever the fuck I tell you. Right?
Yeah.
That's because I'm a part of the supportive community. I don't have to buy this to know that it's great. You send it by me, I support your transaction. So how do you build a supportive audience? Well, they don't give a shit about your offer. So if this is the only thing that you're communicating, then suddenly you only deal with the same people and you have to just keep making different offers, which is not sustainable unless that's what you want to do. That's fine. If you want to make this your hobby and you're a hobby is coming up with new ways to reinvent the same thing and sell it, you can. And that will be the fickle audience that only reacts transactionally. Or you can decide that the brand can speak to the supportive audience. So you think about your product or service becomes the content that drives the offer to the transactional. Well, now we just need more content. So this is just content that's going into an offer, right? So how do we create more content? Well, we create content that would help the supportive community tell these people why. So you don't try to sell them. You try to tell them why you're great.
So yeah,
why
so,
you're great is so, the mission and the vision.
So to put this into, if you're a gym right now and you look at your Instagram and you have 2,500 followers, you've never had 2,500 customers.
Correct.
Out of that, so the majority of that is what Joe's referring to as the supportive audience. People who see what you're doing, they may like it, they may not like it, whatever it is, but they're support, they're interested in it, they have an opinion of it. So
here's
like supportive
is it,
yeah, supportive.
You know me and funnels, right?
Yeah.
Me and funnels have gone a few rounds. Here's where I land. I'm cool with funnels. There's no problem with funnels. The problem is if you only have one. Because if you only have one, you should have a funnel for every single offer. And every single offer should be some combination of your products and services plus something that's intangible. If that intangible is meaningful, like your facility was super nice, it was just better than the other CrossFits. That's why I went. Just like, this is just better. I like the guy, the people seem nice, and this is the nicest facility. And so it's easy to then just transact on what the product or service is. But if my friend never sets foot inside the building, he doesn't know why it's great. So you know what you have to do? You have to tell them, this is why it's great. And that's why you show the inside of your building. It's not trying to convert somebody to buy membership. Of course, yes, there have been people that have seen an ad and immediately transacted.
Sure.
It's just not a lot. Statistically, that's not like my guess. Just statistically speaking, like look at e-commerce. These are people that spend their entire careers trying to sell products and they can't even get a landing page that does better than 3%.
Yeah.
That's the real world. So
yeah.
Like if you think about, you need to build an audience that is three, right? You're only getting 3%. So 97% of the people need to know about you or else you can't really do the 3% sustainably. You can absolutely do it transactionally by changing up your offers constantly and evolving the same product, but you'll constantly be in it. And so if you want to get out of it, in my opinion, is you build a brand because the brand can then launch a hotel and everybody already knows how great it's going to be and that's why they sign up for it. It's the reason that Elon Musk can have an afternoon where he decides that he needs $5 million and sells a not rocket launcher rocket launcher and then suddenly has $5 million. It's because he has brand and he's not constantly transacting. His tweets are not follow me on this and do this. His tweets are this is what I believe in. This is my mission. He's literally speaking his brand publicly. And that's why he has such a supportive community. Now, I don't own a single thing that he's built, but I would love to own a Tesla. That's brand. I'm the supportive community. I would encourage you to have one. You do. I would encourage other friends to have one. They do. I will constantly support that and I will never transact. So I still matter. And so if you look at a hyper-local community and you say, hey, I need to have 150 members and I'm good. I don't need 1,000 Joe. So I'm just going to make a good offer. Yeah. But then you better be really good at gaining attention because it's all about building an audience immediately.
So, and I'm going to use this story. I told this on the podcast already. Turn off that fucking AC. So
where is it?
I've been served ads for the Remarkable. Two, 3 years, probably, right? Seen it, thought of it. And I'm like, No, I don't need that. I have an iPad with the fucking pencil. I don't need it. The day that it was that I bought it, I had just flown from Nashville. I had a work thing in Nashville. The photo was a dude, looked my age. He was dressed kind of, you know, semi-professional, kind of whatever. But, you know, he had like, you know, nice, you know, hoodie on, khakis, whatever. He was sitting there working. It was something like, you know, consulting coast to coast or whatever. Like, and it made me look at it and be like, oh, that's me. Like, that's me. And my laptop has died on the flight, but I still need to take notes.
Correct.
Because my MacBook Pro doesn't fucking get charged by that bullshit fucking outlet they have in the armrest of the American. So it's like, oh, fuck. Like, that's literally me needing that exact same fucking thing. Bought it that second.
Totally.
And it was just like, and so it was in this regard.
I'll finish.
Yeah.
And then this will all make sense. So there's a third audience that we haven't gotten to yet. And that's called the promotional audience. So who's the promotional audience? Because they don't transact. That's only the transactional audience. The supportive audience is just there to say, hey, I'm usually right about these things. and I would go that way. They're that person in the group that you call to make sure you're making the right decision. The promotional audience are people who will never transact with you and don't really care because you have a widget that they think they can sell to their audience. So they say, hey, these are the brand deals, the brand ambassadors, people sure. who don't necessarily have to ever set foot inside your facility to be a great promoter for it. You'd say, well, that would be inauthentic. And I say, well, I argue that if you can communicate the message to them over a Zoom call and they in their community want to help build, then why wouldn't, how is that inauthentic? It's only inauthentic if you're only focused on the offer. If it's authentic, you have a vision here that you're able to sell to anybody.
So walk me through this promotional one. Who is this in a gym
setting? Aaron Dodge.
Where
he's never going to sign up for Urban Movement, but he could do an ad that would drive more traffic than anybody in the town.
Okay.
So he can promote and he will never pay you.
Yeah, yeah.
But he believes in the mission and vision.
So promotional marketers, like people who have audiences of some degree or influence of some version.
Correct. And the reason I call them promotional and not influential is because in my opinion, supportive is actually the most influential because it comes down to basic chemistry. Primer. Catalyst. You can have a catalyst create a reaction without much of a primer. That's the ad you just talked about. The ad you just talked about is a catalytic ad. It didn't matter what the brand was. It didn't matter anything.
Sure.
It just happened to catch you at the right moment at the right time. Yeah. Boom. And it hit you. And guess what? That's a whole $1 billion industry. There's a $1 billion industry specifically to target you with that hyper-targeted ad at the right time. So a whole bunch of people are high-fiving that. That wasn't one person that came up with an ad and was like, I got an idea, and in an afternoon shot in his backyard. It happens, but it's rare. That's a highly calculated strategic campaign that has a bunch of primers that you don't even realize in the market so that when that perfect ad hits you, you know how to buy. So in my opinion, the supportive audience and the promotional audience can be catalysts, but only the supportive can be primers. And primers are the thing that I become because I listen and I like Tesla and I like Tesla and I like Tesla and I never transact. And then one day I do.
Sure.
And then what happens? Boom, a whole bunch of people do too. So because now more people, you see what I'm saying? So you're actually creating priming in the audience of not hearing about Metabolic for the first time on the podcast. Oh no. I've heard about that somewhere. It doesn't matter where. It's because you have a supportive audience.
Does a supportive audience on a long enough timeline generally convert to transactional?
They don't have to.
But on a long enough timeline.
Yes, 100%. On a long enough timeline, yes.
Out of pure curiosity.
Sure. I mean, but normally it's not necessarily just the idea that they're not going to have it. It's that there's some means in the way. I just can't afford a Tesla right now.
Sure.
That's why I don't have, I would have one if I could. And that's what makes me very supportive and catalytic for people like you who go, should I? I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. So for a gym owner listening to this, there's a population, if you could get these insights on like who follows you on Instagram or your social media, of guys that are at a local Globo gym. They've been watching you. They think what you do is cool, but it's not until that Globo gym fucking, they fucking double, triple bill them.
But your goal is not to move somebody from supportive to transactional. Your goal is to work transactionals in the lead prospect customer, right? So that's its own funnel, just the transactional audience. The supportive audience just continues to support. You're never trying to get him to move. What are you trying to do to him? You say, hey, do you know somebody that could use this? That's supportive because who shares that? It's not the person that needs it. It's the person that knows someone that needs it. That's directly targeting a supportive audience with a non-transactional ad. And yet it's still an ad. Because the idea is that we needed the right amount of people to see it for the supportive audience to realize, oh man, my mom needs this gym membership. I trust this gym membership. So I'm going to gift it to her for Christmas this year. And he's not transacting with you in a sense of he is not your end customer. He is just buying something to give to his mom or telling her this is where she needs to go. And you're gifting him the language to be able to do that or the offer to be able to do that. Hey, we're having a referral program. So now what you're doing is you're basically taking your transactional audience and you're making them promotional. You're trying to catalyze a whole bunch of people who know who you are because they're telling their friends. And you're saying, hey, they support. They support so much they give us money for our thing. So they must be trusting. And now I'm going to bring you in and that's why it works so well. I do agree. But that's a very highly saturated target.
Sure.
What's not as saturated is what Metabolic is doing. You're wearing their shirt right now. You could pick a lot of shirts to wear, dude. You could wear really trendy clothes. You could do that, but you're wearing a Metabolic shirt because of the brand, because of what it means to have that shirt on. You picked it. You knew I was coming over. I don't know if you did it for me. I like it. I like the shirt. I think it looked good. But my point is that the reason you're wearing the shirt is because of their brand, not because they told you a great offer and you go transact and work out in Metabolic.
Yeah. To summarize this, to bring this back down, the big takeaway for anyone listening to this, for the gym,
the transactional audience are the people that live within a 5-mile radius that believe in your mission and vision and are supported by people who you've seeded into the community by going to these places and making friends with small business owners around town, showing them what you're, hey, over here at this CrossFit gym, over here at this fitness gym, what we do is this.
Yeah,
this
being hyper-locally relevant, not everyone's gonna be your customer, but they'll have good things to say about
you. That's right.
Yeah.
And go help them out with their stuff. Don't say, hey, let's do a collaboration where we create a whole bunch of work that none of us know how to do.
Sure.
It's like, why? Just do what you're already good at. You're good at fitness. Why don't you just go give them free stuff? They're your local business owners. They could use it. And then they say, oh, well, I see 4,000 customers a month. Now you don't have 4,000 people seeing an ad that they probably scrolled past and you paid a dollar for, and then Facebook ends up in a lawsuit 8 years from now finding that it was all bullshit, right? It's like, this is actually real people telling your message to other people. And the only way you can do that is with a mission and a vision. Because if you don't have a vision, you have nothing to sell the supportive and the promotional audience.
So since every small business most small businesses happen accidentally to a degree. And it doesn't happen here though on brand.
Mm-hmm.
No, it happens.
It doesn't have to start there.
No. It starts here on the offer.
It can.
Correct.
Right.
And then, so most gyms start here in the middle where they start with the offer, right? I'm gonna have a CrossFit gym. It's gonna be $175 a month and I'm gonna have an unlimited offering. And that's what I'm gonna do.
Think about what goes into that.
Correct. But
there's a whole bunch.
But the thing then that's not general, it's thought of second, if not third, is who. Like, but the biggest thing is that I'm pushing is you don't need to have a unique belief in fitness necessarily. You don't need to have a unique methodology. You just had to have a unique audience.
Right.
I'd much rather you have a unique audience. I
couldn't agree more.
Men over 40
yes.
who want to get into endurance sports.
So how do you do this, right? When you look at transactional, supportive, and promotional, you think in the broader terms that most people already do, right? They say, who do you appeal to? I appeal to 20 to 35-year-old white males
sure,
who do this, blah, blah. I appeal to 30 to 40. Now, if you're like, we're for everyone. Yeah, I mean, perhaps. And it's great that you could be for everyone. But if you look around your gym, it's not a direct cross-section of everyone. There is something that is standing out, and it doesn't have to be a physical characteristic. It could be an operational thing. It could be that you have the right class times that match up with the large organization that's by, and you will only know that if you get to know the people, right? And so what I think happens in a funnel, and I think that the issue with funnels being your only way of selling the offer, is that you're forgetting about all of the people who got to touch your brand once. And we always know it's 6 to 9 touches, right? Well, yeah, you could continuously dump money into paying for those touches, or you could have a system that refuels itself, something that's more sustainable, something like a flywheel, right? So what I say is turn it upside down and think about your brand as the castle on top of a hill. So your business is this castle, and inside that castle is the offer. To get the offer, you have to pay to get inside the castle. A funnel says, if you don't want to pay, you literally don't matter to us. We push you to the side. You literally fall out of our funnel and you become cold. But in the brand first, you have a brand on top that is able to seed a supportive audience of people who are willing to sign up for your newsletter to see what you're up to. They're willing to follow you on Instagram. They're willing to transact with you, just not with money. With their time and attention, which is just as valuable in many ways. And so now they are a part. So what I say is, okay, so imagine now you have a fence. You have a fence around a castle. The supportive audience, what we know as prospects, are now in that inner circle. They can actually see everything that you have to offer on a daily basis. They're highly interactive with the people going in and out of the castle. So you're blending now the people who could be purchasing from you one day and will support future purchases in the same way that you're supporting the same community. It's the same content. You're just allowing more people to see it. And then outside are the promotional people who are telling you, you got to go to that place on the block. You see that castle? Everybody can see it.
That 6 to 9 touches thing. Like, so people ask, like, how many is like, I don't think of it as like in a number. I think it was like, imagine if there was a guy who lived outside your house and every day he's there at a table and he's selling ham and cheese sandwiches.
Right.
Every day. You walk out and you're like, no thanks. I've got, I literally, that's my house. My kitchen's right inside. I don't need that. I already have that. Every day, every day, every day, until the one day he's running late, has to go to a meeting, is fucking starving. And then in that one out of 86,400 seconds of the day, he's hungry and he's got what you need, right? For that, just like mm-hmm. the gym. The gym just doesn't have, you know, is it six touches and nines? Is as many touches as it takes until the person is in need of what you want. And if they already had a solution for it, the solution has failed them to the point where they're looking for a new solution.
Sure.
So it's, you know, it's like that boy, the boyfriend girlfriend analogy, right? You keep texting that chick really nicely, just stay friends with her, even though she's got a boyfriend, be super curt, whatever. Don't be creepy.
Right.
But the second she fucking breaks up with her boyfriend, cause he banged your sister, there you are.
Yeah. Cause you're following her on Instagram.
Yeah.
You're a prospect.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's following you back. She likes a couple of your pictures. You are now as close as you can get to the business without transacting money-wise. You're basically not kissing her.
Sure.
That's the only thing you're not doing. You're very close to her. You're liking each other's things. You have your own language. You're constantly keeping in touch. And so the metaphor that you were making with the guy that's sitting there selling things, yeah, primer, 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 you were the catalyst. Your day was the catalyst, yeah. Made you an event. So what do people do in business? They say, well, let's hijack that and we need more growth. So let's throw a bunch of catalysts. That's why you see all the big companies doing ads. The idea of spending money on ads without having a base audience to support it is actually kind of silly. It's kind of like trying to shoot in the air and hope that it hits somebody. And so I used to say it's like going on the top of your own building and just yelling to everybody what you got. It's like, okay, yeah, we see you, dude. I don't know anything about you, right? If I walk up to you on the side of the road and I go, hey, you want to buy a watch? You'd go, listen, creep, get away from me. But if I came up to you and I was like, hey, I gotta ask you something. I notice you don't have a watch on. Why don't you wear a watch? And you go, oh, well, to be perfectly honest with you, I've never really liked watches. They've always irritated my wrists. And I go, oh, that's crazy. I just met a guy who has his own thing that makes it so that no matter what watch you wear, I'm selling you on a vision. I have no product. I have no offer. I don't have anything. And you go, oh, really? And I go, yeah, yeah. We don't have it yet. I'm being honest. We don't have it yet. But as soon as it comes out, I mean, I could just send you an email or something like that. Oh, yeah. Do you want to just give me your Instagram? Now you just transacted. What'd you do? You didn't transact with money.
But kickstart us.
You transacted with mission and vision. You brought in a guy who was having a catalytic moment and had no primer. And boom, you created the whole thing in that one transaction. That's why AI is not going to take over, by the way, right? Because that can't be replicated. It's an on-the-spot thinking that takes in so many different multisensory things. You'd have to build a robot that literally was a human. And that's not anywhere near us.
With the, going back to like the niche audience type scenario, right? Like This is probably, I have on a podcast, and this is my favorite example of this. And just a really, basic version of like, this is how we help people over 40 lose weight with pain-free workouts.
Yeah, can right? be more literally, direct than that.
Yeah, yep. Like that's that. Literally like this is whatever. And so it's to get a gym owner to the point where they narrow this down. It's like, well, I also help some people that aren't over 40.
Sure.
There's always people that like Urban Movement. We didn't advertise old. We didn't advertise fat. We literally advertised young and decent looking and relatively fit.
And when you walked into an Urban Movement, what did you see?
We had Betty. We had some.
You had outliers.
People slip through the cracks. You don't say no to them because they're cool as whatever. But at the same time, you throw the bat signal up. Only Batman typically shows up. You might get a Spider-Man every now and then.
Sure.
But like typically sure. It's just Batman.
Right.
You know, Core 24 is a great fucking example of that.
Right.
Like, I mean, it just looks like fucking influencer reality show.
Right.
Instagram reels all right. day long. And that's exactly who's in there.
Yeah. You know what he's doing? He's transacting on brand. That's literally
yeah,
what he's doing.
Yeah.
Right. So, and this is the point. The point is that you can start the idea, the concept of brand is actually fairly simple when you think about it being reputation emotion, right? So it's your, what you've put out into the world being echoed by the community that you're in. That's why it's reputation emotion, right? It is literally your reputation, the gut instinct of the people in the community and what they're saying about you when you're not around. Well, the way to seed that population is to not only transact with people when they hand you money.
Have you done anything, one thing that's interesting to me, so the gym has been open for a while. Let's say 3 years is all you need, and honestly, you need way less than that. and you ask someone who, okay, you didn't really know getting into it who the customer is going to be. You had an idea.
Sure.
3 years later, you got a pretty good idea who the customer is.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done any research with like consumer segmentation data, like Experian, Mosaics, or anything like that? Have you seen
So it? I've seen the reports.
Yeah, yeah.
They're interesting as a data point, mm-hmm. right? Like, in my opinion, the best business decisions are made critically. Like, everybody makes the best decisions in their life. It's like, you think about everything, you weigh it differently, you base it on what your resource level is, and you take the best action. And yeah. so I take a data source like that, and I say, is it valuable? Sure, as a data point, as long as you don't assume that it means more than it does because it was done by somebody, sure. right? I was like, this is what I always like to say, like, even AI, oh no, AI, yeah, AI is just a bunch of averages. Right? It's like, what do we think they would want to hear? It's quite literally a machine that, if used improperly, is worse than Google in confirmation bias.
Yeah.
Because it wants to you to like it.
Yeah.
And it wants you to like it because that makes them more users, right? It's like, the more you like using it, the more you use it, the more you tell your friends, you become transactional and supportive and promotional. All in one. You don't have to be just one.
Yeah. I would say the average gym owner definitely is not using any it's all like, you know, he asks, who's your avatar? They're going to think of the 10 members that they're the closest with, they're friends with, they hang out on the weekends with.
Yeah.
And that's who it is. And then and you actually break it down.
If that's what you want, then that's what you should build.
Sure, 100%.
So if you're sitting in a gym right now and you have 87 members and half of them are people that don't really make you excited to go, put it up, hey, how about this? You know who your audience is? Your audience is when you wake up in that morning at 4:45 for that 5:30 a.m. class and one person signed up and you're not pissed off.
I'm just curious when you said that, if anyone else said to their head in their head, feeling like P. Diddy. Like, as little as you're saying that, I started singing Kesha in my head instantly.
Branding.
Branding. Just kidding. It's so crazy, man, because like what I have to do now, like on the real estate side, I have to go, like if we're looking at two different sites, so this is called Placer AI. So what this does, this tracks every cell phone that goes in and out of any address in the any address. So this is the client's current site. This is the site we're considering. So now I can go ahead, and these are all the Experian mosaics, right? They all have like their own little cutesy little names, and they'll have little like summaries and all that. And Experian puts out a full report. So I've got a handbook that goes with this that tells you every fucking psychographic, demographic, how they vote, what they buy, the brands they buy,
yep.
based on this. And then my job is to match up, make sure that wherever we're going next looks like fucking where we were,
yeah.
right? Like that kind of right. scenario. And it's so funny because on the real estate side, we're making such a large decision, purchase or lease, it's still expensive. But then you turn around and you go to the gym owner when they're in the midst of business.
Right.
And you start talking about like, well, who's your avatar customer? And it would be as easy as all you got to do, go to Experian Mosaic, Google it, go there, and you could pay. It's going to cost you $4,000 or $5,000. And you can send them a CSV file of every customer you've ever had as a customer. You send them the ones that all were prospects, the ones that are all leads, spit it in, and they will break down these are who your people are based on the billion data points that us and the two other credit bureaus have on
right.
everybody. And it's like, at least now we have a data point to pair with all your qualitative insight, quote unquote.
For what I would consider an extremely optimal transactional audience.
Sure.
And then your job is to take that and figure out who supports those people in decisions and who influences online their decisions. Because sometimes you have to recognize that by telling the right person the right thing, that could mean more than you doing the right thing on your own for 1,000 years.
So
right?
how do you find this? So let's say I have my Experian Mosaic. I qualitatively know who my people are. I know what they want. I know their pain points. So that's my transactional audience.
Okay.
Is my supportive audience the same shade, but they're just not opting? Are they of the
nope,
same
Nope, that's prospect.
Build? Okay.
Supportive is the moms of those people if they're kids. It's the husbands of the wives, if that's your audience. So give me your transactional audience and I'll tell you who supports them.
Got it. So let's say it was a clothing company.
Okay.
And like you. And
so let's do the real thing.
Sure.
So let's start with the offer because that's what you like. So what's the offer?
The offer is, fucking buy this merino hoodie.
What's merino? Just went over.
It's like really merino wool.
Merino wool.
Wool, yeah, merino wool hoodie.
Rich fuck, come on.
Buy a merino wool hoodie.
I'm gonna forget that merino. Okay.
Merino wool hoodie keeps you warm in the cool and keeps you cool in the heat in the warm.
And basically, just so we see what this gap is this is the communication of the offer, which is the value of that to the transactional lawsuit, which you just said.
So Marina Wool hoodie. Okay, hoodie, 72-hour, no stink, perfect for consultants who have to travel, get on a flight at 4 a.m., show up in San Diego, take the meeting, then has to go out for drinks, and you can wear the same shirt all day. It's wrinkle-free, no odor. It fucking looks good. It looks professional. So that's the transactional audience. So the guys who are consultants on flight, the supportive audience is my gay buddy, who I show it to. I'm like, yo, does this look good on me?
And he's
like,
yeah. It's also all of the bartenders that you were transacted with. It's also the flight attendants if you're sitting in first class. It's all of the people that are a part of your entire decision-making process, because the smartest brands don't position themselves to be outside of the normal buying patterns of their audience. So basically, if I know that you, so give me your day. Give me an average day in the life of your transactional perfect customer. He wakes up and does what?
For me or in this hoodie?
So the hoodie. So who we're trying to sell the hoodie to?
He wakes up, he leaves the house, and he's got
what
to
time?
He leaves the house at 6 a.m.
Is he put together already?
He's put together.
So he's up at 4.
He's put together. He's ready to go, but he's got to be where he's going to wait. He has no time to change. So he is going to be wearing this thing for fucking 13, 14 hours from meeting to meeting to meeting. And he has to still look good enough at the end of the night to go out, but not overdress.
But tell me his day. You keep telling me what the value of your offer is, but tell me what his day is. So he wakes up and he goes to
office. Goes to the office.
Okay.
Goes to an
is he
offsite
on Zoom
meeting.
Calls? Is he in transactions?
Nope, he's traveling to offsite meetings. He's meeting people.
He's driving.
Driving around.
What's he listening
time.
To while he's driving?
What is he listening to? He's listening to John Mayer and Doja Cat.
Supportive, right? Okay. So how do you build a supportive audience? You show him that your brand transacts with John Mayer. So you hire John Mayer when you're going to do an ad. Oh, we can't afford John Mayer. Then play his music in the background. Oh, we can't do that. Well, then figure out a way to work his energy into your offer. And that is your brand. Because the whole point is to hijack what they're already doing, not try to make them do something different. The way I look at it is that I'm in the real estate game just like everybody else. My real estate is not physical, it is digital. My real estate ends in .coms and .flexes now, right? All kinds of shit. And the way I look at it is that when you're carving out your website, you're carving out your piece of real estate. But with the real estate that I'm going for is right here, right on the front of this iPhone. The iPhone that is held by the top consumers who love design, love quality, appreciate the same core values that my brand does, aligns with the vision of a company that likes Apple. I don't copy Apple because I am not Apple. I understand that my supportive audience loves Apple. And so I align with them. I do some of the tactics that they do. I pay homage to them in my ads. I mention them when I'm talking. I use all of their products in all of my stuff. I'm an unbelievable transactional, supportive, and promotional audience for a brand that aligns with my brand so that the community understands when they see Flex, they align it with Apple because you need an anchor in somebody's head and it can't be one that you force in there unless you have enough money to pay for that. And most people don't. CrossFit did. CrossFit spent tens of millions of dollars making sure that it was a household name, right? We can literally go through the history. Right, we could talk about the advertising and the media that was built around them and how they leveraged it in such an amazing way. But we don't have $10 million to spend in advertising, and we don't even define our audiences. They knew exactly who they were going for, and they got them. And they got them by not just trying to get people to pay, but by telling them, by the way, we're the kind of people who don't like to tell people what to do. We build our own equipment. We do all. That's how they started. It started by cutting up basketballs and filling them with sand and throwing them at the wall. And that was a wall ball. It wasn't created by Rogue to look aesthetically pleasing on your wall. It's nuts. But that's what happens over time with consumerism. But in the beginning, they were mission and vision driven and had a ton of a supportive audience because you didn't have to do CrossFit to like the idea of it.
It's funny, man. I want to go to this video next, but on the whole brand biz audience thing, for anyone listening to this, I'll take a picture probably of this and do something with it. But I'll take, anyway, this brand biz.
I can draw it nicer.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I'm a lefty, so I did this with my right hand.
Brand biz audience. You figure out, I would say, like, out of the three, you have the gym's
everybody
there.
Everybody that's listening to you has a business.
Has the business.
They have an offer.
They have an offer.
It may not be a good one, but they have one.
They have an audience. A current audience, they probably don't understand them. There's way more introspective opportunity to learn more about the audience than what they've done. But then everyone going back where I said, hey, nobody cared. And the thing is that when I said it, or the start of this conversation, I said, most of these people that I talk with after driving this home 1,000 times, they don't care about this because this, the offer, and somewhere here in the audience, there's like, this is the communicate, there's the gap, right? They're not making the transaction.
Here's my metaphor.
Okay.
A business without a brand is like saying, hey, you see this factory over here? I'm going to buy it and I'm going to put awesome plumbing and HVAC and make all the offices and it's going to be dope and it's going to have doors and there's going to be windows and there's going to be desks and there's going to be computers and internet and everyone's going to be able to work and it's going to be amazing. And everyone's like, yeah, but why would anybody do it? What do you mean, why would anybody do it? I'm just going to get people to pay to support the office. So as long as the lights are on and the computers are running, I don't need that many people because the office is actually built in a really efficient way. I got a good deal on the place. And with just 70 people, I'm completely covered. And they're like, yeah, but what's the point? It's like, well, they get to cover the cost of the lights and now I have a building. It's like, yeah, but what is the building? That's the brand.
Yeah, correct.
The brand is what goes inside and everyone goes, oh, this is Stu's place.
Yeah.
Oh, this is definitely done by Joe. Oh, I would totally, this looks like Metabolic. You know what's funny? It can't look like Metabolic if they don't know what Metabolic looks like and only your transactional audience knows what it looks like. So show the supportive audience in the way that they want to hear it. And guess what? It's not with an offer to come check out your place. They don't want to. They just want to support people who like your shit. So you create a new offer. Guess what your offer is? Content. You create high quality. Like I'm sitting in a fucking studio. This is like a full-fledged studio. And that creates a polished content product for your supportive audience who you know then turns into possibly transactional.
Does the content have to be high quality?
It does not. It just has to be on brand. It can be, and this is what I think people miss. Ready? What does Casey Neistat say about using drone footage? Stop. No one gives a shit about your drone footage. We've seen it. Unless it's being used to transition somebody from one part to a different part or to aesthetically set a landscape for the shot, keep it on your fucking hard drive and tell the story shorter. We all got time and we want to use it the best way possible. And it's not watching you figure out how to use your DJI Mavic Pro 8, right? Like I'm over it, right? So in my opinion, when you're looking at business, you think through it and you say, okay, well, here's my offer to the people that are going to buy from me. But there's a whole bunch of people that are never going to buy from me that it would be nice if they knew about me. And there's a whole bunch of people out there that try to make money by taking the audience of 15 followers, 100,000 followers, 1.2 million. It doesn't matter. What can you do for them? Stop trying to get them to transact with you. They don't give a shit about your gym. How would I leverage an influencer in California? I don't know. Does the influencer in California have 35,000 listeners and one of those listeners happens to be somebody in your town who's incredibly influential? And to hear your name dropped on that podcast, they're like, whoa, why is someone in Santa Barbara talking about this gym in Chicago? You think that's not a catalyst? You're out of your fucking mind. This is how you get to 6 to 9 brand touch points. It's not by shoving another Facebook ad in somebody's feed so that another mom can say, that's not for me. Like, no, that's not, you're just wasting money. You're just throwing it at an empty building, trying to keep the lights on. Figure out why the fuck you're doing it. Then it narrows it down to who you would wake up for at 5 o'clock in the morning to go teach a one-person class and be excited about it and build that.
So this is interesting because this transitions perfectly because so I sent Joe a video earlier. I don't think you watched it yet.
I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it. New year, I'm always keeping my eye out for all the new marketing promotions that are going for January, right? So the open gym concept is having a big moment right now. Open gym models are getting popular again. You've got still the legacy, the big ones like the Lifetimes, the 30, 60, 90,000 square foot. A lot of those are going into like, they have HRT on site. They're going to be like Lifetime's got a pilot location that's going to be doing therapy, Ozempic. I mean the whole fucking thing, right?
Cloning.
2 years ago during the pandemic, they did the WeWork. They did co-working and they leased them out to companies that
explain that. What does that mean?
So Lifetime Fitness takes over an entire fucking building. Let's say 15 floors. The gym's on floors, fucking 1 through 7, 8 through 15. They turn into a co-working space that ends up at them getting leased by companies floor by floor by floor that want to have that are an active Patagonia or right. Whatever it may be, right? They sure. Want to have a fucking gym.
Got it. I see.
You know?
Okay.
But Crunch Fitness, who big in New York back in the day, they dropped this ad. This is brand new, this campaign right here. And I want to crank this up. Well, you guys can hear this.
Some things feel bad. Crunch feels good. Generally, you want to feel the good, not the bad. Because the bad is bad. Good, on the other hand, is good. That's why they call it good. So, to review, bad feels bad.
Yeah.
And good feels good. So, if you want to feel good, join Crunch.
Join Crunch Fitness today.
So, I wrote out that entire script. If you write it out,
it's so good.
Bad feels bad.
So good.
Good feels good. You don't want to feel bad because that would be bad. What you want to do is feel good because that feel, when you, if you literally write out the script to that on a piece of paper and you stare at it, especially in our state right now, you'd be like, what the fuck?
Will you?
Like, is it my 6-year old daughter fucking wrote that ad?
Right.
So if anyone's listening, look up
you know,
Crunch.
Oh, stop. You ready?
What?
You want to know how that ad was written?
I'll tell you how. Okay. And I'm making this up. I know nothing about Crunch Fitness, so all of the details are fake, but the process is the same. It's okay. So we have a transactional audience. So I'm recording this into a voice recorder. We have a transactional audience of men from 40 to 52 that live in this, that do this demographic, that this is how they buy things. This is their habits and their purchase patterns. We also appeal to women ages 37 to 38, and this is how they act, and this is their purchasing patterns. These are the things that are most important, and this is the demographic data. And that is supported by a supportive audience of people who do this, blah, 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 blah. And then they say, all, and this is the offer to them, and this is our brand. And can you take all of that and write it to a second grader?
Yeah.
And that's what comes out. It is definitely not a second grader. That's the point. Sure. The point is that somebody looks at that and thinks that they can come up with that. And it's fucking hilarious because when I started in marketing, I always felt a little crazy because I was like, I'm saying the obvious thing. And then the person is validating that, oh yeah, that's obvious. And I'm like, okay, so then it is obvious. So I must be missing something here. Until I realized that the best marketing is obvious. You just don't know it because you're so blinded by the business and the product itself that you don't realize what other people are seeing. And that's why it's so important to talk to people outside of the business. This ad is because they are trying to hit the biggest target audience that covers not just transactional, but mostly supportive. They are branding something in your head that uses the coloring that says, look at me, pick me. It's not the blue to comfort you. It's not soothing you. It's not the purples that make you feel a little creative. It is a bright orange and red. And you're like, whoa, what is happening here? So you're already captured by it. The entire background is branded with Crunch things. They're in a Crunch gym. Everybody that is happy is in Crunch. Did you know that Apple used to pay for no one to ever be able to use an Apple product in the hands of a villain in a movie? That's right, go back. When Steve Jobs was alive, you will not find an iPhone in the hand of a bad character in a single film. That was his word. He said, no, you cannot use my phone in a negative sense. Meaning that if the villain picks up an iPhone, I'm not having 1.5 million people think that bad people use our stuff. That's how they make it silenced. That's how they make sure that the brand has a brand point like feel good, not bad, Crunch. Feel good, not bad, Crunch. That's so easy to remember that your kid will say it after they see the ad. They'll go, feel good, not bad, feel good, not. And you'll say to your friends, I am so sick of hearing that feel good, not bad, Crunch. And then one of your friends goes, I've actually been looking for a gym. I heard it's only 10 bucks. And he just signed up. You're not transacting. Your daughter's now transacting. You just became a supportive and a promotional audience right in front of them. You catalyzed an action, and that is just quite literally their reputation from this ad in motion.
And this is where someone listening to this is going to be like, wait, but I thought, like, I need to make some statements, like, whatever happened to we help people over 40 lose weight with them. I'm like, yeah, that is a semi-private and personal training gym. These are mega fucking open gym health clubs that need 10 to 15,000 memberships per location.
But there's no reason that you can't do the exact same ad, word for word, with your own creative by sending it out to, there's 1,000 ways to do creative now. We are gone from the days where I used to feel bad. when I'm like, oh yeah, well, dude, look at the amount of work it takes. We are, I mean, I understand that you're using top of the line stuff in here, but really I walk around with a watch and an iPhone 15 Pro. And I am as good as anybody with a full camera rig. You tell the right story, everything's fine. And I think that these people give you the framework to steal some of their contents for brand awareness, because you don't know how to do that. They do. So take their concepts for brand awareness and stop trying to steal their offers, because you can't offer what they can. You literally can't. Stop. You can't offer a gym that has... Okay, Charlotte Athletic Club is now One Athletics. They're putting like almost $3 million into that place. It's a completely new brand. They got a nice pickleball court. They broke down some walls. They're making it so that it actually feels a little bit more spacious and free-flowing, right? There's actually segmented areas. They redid all the locker rooms. They have a, because they're trying to make a statement. It's like, hey, this is who this is for. So when we raise our prices, it's not because we couldn't afford to keep the lights on. It was because we just put a huge investment into something that's actually valuable to the customer, because the sauna is gonna get used like crazy. And everyone kept asking for a pickleball court, now they're gonna have it, right? So all of the things that people wanted, you wanted a little bit better lighting in there, well, now they got it. The locker rooms get a complete update. And now everybody is happy, even though the product and service stay the same and the identity, the visual identity is completely different. And guess what happened? They got an elevation. It actually elevated the business itself, because now they are perceived to be of higher value because there's millions of dollars invested in it. And that's not fake. It's not because you faked it. They put $1 million in. So if you don't have millions of dollars, you have to figure out the thing that you're putting in that somebody else isn't. And that is literally your unique selling proposition. We use these fancy terms, but it just means, why am I going to choose you? You could break down why you have a business into a single sentence. Why should this customer buy this offer from my brand? And if you can answer that question, you have a business. And if you can fill in the gaps of that Mad Lib, you have an entire campaign for marketing. Because your whole job now is to know the five levels of awareness. And if you don't know that, that's why people do marketing. Stop thinking that you can do it just because you consume a lot of marketing, right? It's very difficult and it's an art and you can learn it. It's not hard. But it does take practice and you have to know what's there. So I just say, oh, you're having trouble coming up with a creative? No problem. What's the current offer? So just give me any gym's offer.
Buy 1 month, get 1 month free.
All right. How many different ways can you say buy one, get one free? You can twerk.
50% off 2 months.
You can say all these. But the truth is you're just communicating the same message, right? In different ways. So how about instead of saying the same message in different ways, you consider that the same transactional audience who you've narrowed down to 35 to 55, you know, men and women, okay? Now you pick a buyer persona. That's the specific thing the guy was telling you before, right? Like that's what the Lululemon stuff where they're like, it's Charlie.
Yeah.
And he's 32 and he's got two kids and, you know, the mother doesn't really talk to him a whole lot, but he's a great dad, you know? And like, and they actually, and the reason that they do that is not for some silly marketing ploy. It's so that when the person that has to come up with the advertisement
They
can think of that exact person. And now you say, okay, yeah, but Joe, I don't know what to say to them. We'll answer the question. Know what their level of awareness is. There's five levels. They're either unaware, meaning that they don't even know they have a problem, meaning that they're definitely not going to buy your solution, right? So don't try to pitch them. That would be silly because you never take people more than one layer down. So the first layer is, I don't even know I have a problem, so there's no way I'm going to buy your thing. The next is, I know I have a problem, but I don't know that there's a solution out there. I think I'm very unique and there's nobody like me out there. And there's no way I'll start CrossFit after I start a different gym membership so that I make sure I look the right way before I enter. They don't even know, okay? Then you get to the solution. The solution aware is an entire audience of people who know what solutions are. They know that there are solutions out there, but they just don't know who to transact with yet. And then the next layer is the people who are aware of your brand and other brands there. And then the final stage is all aware, meaning that they've actually tested a few and know why they're choosing you. Your goal is to move them one layer at a time. So if you're trying to come up with an ad, you can come up with five every day. Your offer is an unlimited membership. You don't have to come up with a promotional offer like you just said. Why are you discounting? You don't have to discount. Charge extra. Say it's $125 for this month, but everyone gets a free cooler. And go partner up with a cooler guy down the thing and slap your logo on it. Now they're leaving with something of extra value. You didn't have to discount your membership. And all you do to step them through is, what's the problem? Well, what's the customer? Give me your customer. Just give me the avatar. Just make one up. Who's your buyer persona?
Let's go 25 to 36 year old so no, single.
Give me the specific. Give me the 33 year old female. That's
Oh yeah. It's Ashley. Ashley, 33 years old, moved to Charlotte in the past 18 months, is looking to establish a social network outside of work, and wants to look the parts, and she spends $500 a month on Lululemon.
Amazing. Okay, so if she is unaware, it means that she has a problem she doesn't know she has. So how about, did you just move to a new city and you're not worried and you're a little worried about meeting new people? You're not really the bar type. You're the type of person that wants to kind of be around other people that are thinking about their health and taking things seriously. That sounds like me. I just took you from not problem aware to problem aware. Cool, now you know you got a problem. You got a problem you got to solve. I'm going to help you solve it. You ready? We're going to take you from problem aware to then solution aware. So I go, here's the thing. There is a way to do that. I never say my brand yet. There is a way to do that. The way to do that is to think, where would those people go? They would all congregate in a place where they can do some physical activity today, get a good sweat in, and feel better than when they started. They don't go there to feel crappy. They go there to feel great. And what's great is that you get to meet all of the wonderful people because there's all different types of people in this place. But they look like this, which happens to look like. And you go, oh my goodness, wow, this sounds pretty good. But who has that? I'm Urban Movement. Urban Movement is actually the place where the youngest kind of hippest people mostly hang out, but also work out. It's a place where you go in between your work and your home that makes you feel like you got something in today when it doesn't matter how bad your work was. Because, you know, you get stressful when you're living alone. Why do I know she's living alone, Stu? Wait, what, aren't you cutting out some of the target market? Well, no, she's not. I'm not aiming for a target market. I'm aiming for
this one. Yeah, I wanted to punch hard.
And she goes, well, geez, that's really interesting. I'm going to look into it. Now, this is the critical part. If you want to get the transaction, you have to make her not leave and go somewhere else to see if you're right. Because the next step is the validation step. And that's normally where they shut their phone off and they call their friends. Have you ever heard of Urban Movement? But guess what? You just told me something that was super crucial. She just moved here. She ain't going to call anybody. Nobody knows. She doesn't know anybody to call. So what's she going to do? She's going to go to your fucking website. Huh? And she's going to say, did they put the time and effort into doing this? She's not going to click on the about page. She doesn't care about your hours. She doesn't want to read your mission and vision. She just wants to take a general look at the aesthetic of the page and say, does this look like a page that I... And guess what? If there's an image right there of a girl meeting a whole bunch of new people, oh my God, she's in. That's what targeted advertising is. You're basically just taking somebody from not knowing they have a problem too. The best can do it in a single advertisement, like you described earlier. That was one advertisement that took you from one to, don't try to do that if you don't know marketing. That would be crazy. That would be like someone walking in and saying, I haven't worked out in 6 to 8 years, and I know that I see the things on TV and that I'm capable of that, so I would like to start personal training with you. And you're like, fantastic. Tell me a little bit about yourself. And they tell you all this stuff, and you got them. You're like, this is a cake client. They haven't worked out in forever. They're gonna see so much results and feedback. I'm gonna make this so great for them. And then they show up the first day and they go, I only wanna learn how to snatch. And you're like, oh, I can't do that. Well, yeah, because that would be crazy. It would be crazy to try to do it all at once. You gotta break it down into these individual steps. You don't have to worry about the big picture. Your ads don't have to hit that hard. You don't have the budget to put behind them anyway. What you do have is a phone in your pocket that you could take out and shoot something that says that. And if you don't know how to film, take a picture of the ground that you're on and write a message on a post-it note. I mean, go to Pinterest, have some inspiration. It's not crazy to think that you can't think of a way to write a message that says, hey, here's your Instagram carousel. Did you just move to blah, 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 blah? Swipe right. You just take them through unlimited content. All you need, 3 audiences. Once you know the audiences, each one has 3 buyer personas. Each buyer persona gets a targeted ad that takes them from one level to that. You have 15 pieces of content today. Don't tell me you don't have ideas. It's very simple if you know your customers, and it's a lot easier to know your audiences when you know the brand. Because if you only have a business, you only know one of your potential 3 audiences. That's why brand's important.
Have you seen the, it's an Apple commercial, so I'm sure you have.
Of course.
It's the one.
I studied it.
I forget the actress is black female actress, Tim Cook's in it, and she plays Mother Nature. And she comes into a board meeting and Mother Nature is pissed off. And she is ripping into Apple for all the carbon footprint shit. And then everyone at the board just starts going through all the things that they've done to leave no carbon footprint. And so she leaves there like, oh, okay, well, carry on. Good job, guys. Like, whatever. But like, have you ever seen this?
No.
It's so fucking good. And the thing
is, I feel like I know the storyline. So yes, yeah, bring it up.
But it's fucking, it's like, when I think of this, like what you're saying, Apple Mother Nature video. Here we go. This is so fucking good.
Welcome to Apple. Welcome to Apple. Hi, I'm Tim.
You should be here any minute.
How is the weather kind of?
I'm Tim.
Yeah. I'm going to do the office. It's already carbon neutral.
Yeah, all yours.
He's a supply chain manager guy.
I hope we didn't keep you waiting.
Mother Nature, welcome to Apple. How was the weather getting in?
The weather was however I wanted it to be. Let's cut to the chase. In 2020, you promised to bring Apple's entire carbon footprint to zero by 2030. Henry David Thoreau over here.
The problem.
Said we have a profound opportunity to build a more sustainable future for the planet we share.
I think our 10 o'clock said the same thing.
They all do. All right. This is my third corporate responsibility gig today, so who wants to disappoint me first?
Well, we've got some updates we are excited to share with you.
Materials, status.
Is there a materials person here?
Yes. We are in the process of eliminating all plastic from our packaging by the end.
Let me guess. 50 years from now, when someone else is left holding the bag?
By the end of next year, actually.
And we're also currently using 100% recycled aluminum in the enclosures of all our MacBooks, Apple TVs, Apple Watch.
What about iPod Shuffle? It's a joke. Don't you people make Ted Lasso?
Oh, that's a different group.
We're also phasing out leather in our iPhone cases.
What about Brando over there? They phasing you out too?
Oh.
What's next?
Electricity.
Electricity status.
We're operating on 100% clean electricity.
What runs on 100% clean electricity?
Every Apple office, store, and data center runs on clean electricity, thanks to you and your powerful wind and sun.
And Apple offices are already carbon neutral.
This building is carbon neutral?
Oh, yeah, we do it with a mix of clean energy and eliminating greenhouse emissions. It's kind of like if you were to...
You're seriously explaining carbon neutrality to Mother Nature?
Right, no, sorry.
You want to tell me how photosynthesis works, too? Don't.
Also, over 300 suppliers have committed to using 100% clean, renewable electricity.
What's next?
Transportation. I'm proud to report that we're shipping more products by ocean rather than air, which reduces transportation emissions by 95%.
95%? Not too bad.
I'm also happy to report that we're investing in projects around the world that protect the Earth's soil, plants, and trees.
Everyone says they're planting trees.
We've planted forests.
Oh, hello.
Where?
Paraguay, Brazil.
What, are you trying to save the tropical savanna?
Yes. And we've also restored mangroves in Colombia.
What else?
Grasslands in Kenya.
Why?
Our aim is to permanently remove carbon from the atmosphere.
What about your water usage?
We've reduced it.
By how much?
63 billion gallons.
63 million?
Billion.
As you can see, we've innovated and retooled almost every part of our process to reduce our impact on the planet. But there's still a lot more work to do.
And there's something else we wanted to share with you.
You're not trying to bribe Mother Nature with Apple swag.
It's Apple's very first carbon neutral product.
I want to see you do more of this.
You will.
When?
By 2030, all Apple devices will have a net zero climate impact.
All of them?
All of them.
They better.
They will.
Okay, good. See you next year.
So that is of course it is.
It's a massive commercial.
But that is a masterclass in advertising.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do four, I think my heart rate got so excited, my goal got achieved. I could do an hour breaking that down.
Yeah.
And what it is it's everything we just talked about, except they're considering all of the 15 avatars in the room and what they would be like if they all supported Apple.
Sure.
See what they're doing? They're literally showing you the supportive audience. Everybody that's in that room, but Joe, they work for Apple. Yeah. That's who you respect. And they look just like you. Look at that room. Count the nationalities, count the ages, they are literally showing you exactly who they suspect. But by the way, they're all looking very tidy. No one looks disheveled.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't talk about that, but like, they're all very well kept because they also work at it. This is a business. So there is a bit of professionalism to them. And every single sentence that they say was crafted. It was crafted. It was like worked. It was A/B tested in advertising. It was made sure it made sense in everybody's phone. We got that random message that has an alert that you didn't recognize. Like, that's how it all works. And then it all goes into crafting the perfect sentence for the perfect person, then deciding that the CEO of the company should say this part. Have everybody say this. Work their way down, build the reputation, have a bunch of people throw out objections. In this case, it's Mother Nature. Mother Nature says, I object. And someone goes, I have an answer for that. And by the way, I'm not asking you for money. I'm just here to support.
And so, like, to go back to your theory, like the supportive audience here, you could take that idea and whoever your audience is. So let's go to gauge strength that we did earlier. Women, people over 40, whatever. And then show me a video with a bunch of women over 40 at brunch. And they're all sitting there talking. And one of the girls walks in, she looks good. And they're all like, oh, what have you been doing working out? I'm like, oh yeah, I've been working out at Gauge Strength and blah, 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 blah. And then one of the friends like, oh yeah, but they're gonna do a bunch of burpees and sprints and running and jumping in there. And it was like, oh, actually, no, I go there too. And they don't do any of that. Like, you can see where you can take this, you know, you can totally take that idea, steal it.
And that's transactional. How would you target the supportive audience? You target 45-year-old husbands and you say, has your wife been saying that she hasn't been able to move friends? She has a tough time meeting people. She spends a lot of time around the house. She started working from home and that's actually stopped her from working out. You know what the coolest place in town to do that is? It's the place right next to her favorite restaurant. And they know that because they use your map and they said, oh, look, the people that like this restaurant happen to be in the $150,000 a year neighborhood, right? Like, it's all math. At some level, they're just like, oh, this is the person. That's the one. And so I decide that you're the support. Who's the promotional audience? Same thing. Who transacts with their audience? Etsy.
Yeah.
It's fucking Etsy. They're on Etsy. They're buying things on Etsy. Cool. So then you go get Etsy designers to design stuff for your brand and you sell it. Everybody wins. The Etsy designer gets the thing. The design was for your brand. And the person who's going to one day buy your membership is on Etsy and seeing your brand all over. So they're like, what the hell is this? Why is this brand even here? Oh, wow. They're actually in my neighborhood. Oh, I'm primed so well. I can't wait for somebody to say the right thing. And then someone turns to me and goes, have you heard of that place? Yeah, I'm actually going to sign up. And that's exactly how it works.
Supportive audience, Ed. Husband comes home, stressed from work, pulls up to his house, looks at the yard. The yard has been mowed. He just goes, he's talking to a friend. He's like, fuck, she's going to kill me. I haven't mowed the yard in forever. Walks in the house. It's a fucking absolute mess. He's thinking to himself, fuck, she's going to absolutely kill me, whatever. Walks up the stairs, waiting to get bitched at by his wife. And she's in her fucking Lulu, ready to run out the door. She goes, oh, I have a 60-minute spin class with the girls, and then I'm going out, whatever. And as she walks to the door, and he just... his buddy's still on the phone and he goes, holy shit, dude, you got to get your wife a membership to so-and-so.
Oh my God. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. And it was top of mind and it was natural. And the thing is that people say the best marketing is obvious. It is. It is obvious if you know exactly who you're saying it to, exactly why you're saying it, and exactly what the offer is. And because what they were doing, what Mother Nature was doing in that ad was showing you how you will get attacked from all ways, not just in the linear path that you built for them to go. Not like, hey, you didn't fill out our entry form. Why didn't you fill out our intake form? It's 23 questions. It takes you 45 minutes. And if you don't fill them all out, how can I possibly? Well, it's because I got a fucking life. You know, I got other shit going on. And I was halfway through the form and then something else happened.
Turned green, yeah.
Right? Like, and so when I show up to your gym, don't immediately make it a negative experience because I didn't do the thing you asked me to do to make sure I fell into your pipeline. I want to be here. I showed up.
Yeah.
Be and
the hardest
here.
Part.
Yeah. So then you say, hey, I noticed you didn't fill out the intake form. No big deal. We'll get to those later. So let's show you the gym.
Yeah.
Don't well, force
I might have
them
to ask you four
path.
Extra questions in person. Oh my gosh.
And when she came, when Mother Nature came and she was like, yeah, yeah, but what about this? It's like, well, yeah, no, we have that covered. And the only way you know that is if you know why you're doing it. Because if you ever stumble, you can always go, I'm not 100% sure, but I can find that out for you. But I know we always take care of people like this.
I love it. I love it. All right, homie. Is there anything we need to plug for you while you're here? It's not time yet.
Well, you know what's really funny? Is that I think the last time we recorded, it was never posted. That was me. I think I requested that it was never posted. And it was because I thought I was where I am now. I saw how it should all come together, but I saw it clearer than it was in reality. And now it just feels a little bit more real. So I think last time I told you I was starting a blog. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be a blog. It's actually a daily vlog, and a trailer drops actually tonight on my birthday. And if you want to watch the first cut, it was just sent to me.
Was it? Yeah. Is it on?
I don't think. No, it's not published. This is literally like raw edit. Like it's not done yet.
Yeah.
But I'll show you it, and we can get a. I'm seeing this for the first time too. So this is supposed to be a trailer for the season.
Dude, that's fun. It's only I don't even know when we made our first when I had you on the had you on this podcast first. It had to have been like 2016. I don't think I even started the podcast till 2017. So it's only taken since 2017 for you actually to create some content.
Yeah. It took me that long to figure out what it meant for me to want to share.
Dose of Joe. So it's on YouTube.
So it's on YouTube.
Okay.
And then it's also going to be supported by a website, which will be out by the time this, I'm sure. When does this come out?
I'm going to let you tell me when to drop this.
Okay. So it'll definitely be out by then. And that is a full experience because the Dose of Joe experience is actually one story told in five different narratives. So I am one storyteller of what's going through, happening in my day. And that day is filled with me helping people build brand. I already have 24 brands coming for next year. So I'm actually completely booked for the entire year. And we're going to be launching one every couple of weeks, either relaunching a brand that's already existed or helping a brand refresh, or like Charlotte Athletic Club, you know, switching to a new kind of concept. And it's going to be what actually goes into making all the stuff that we talked about tonight, because I don't think it's as inaccessible as people think it is. I think that sometimes they're just maybe not as creative as they can be. And I think that this can be not just my opinion of what's important, but I am actually not doing the final edits. So I'm helping stitch the storylines together, but there are individual people actually taking what I'm talking about that day and creating a 1 to 2 minute story every single day.
So you're filming and then shipping it to them.
Correct.
Got it.
And they're telling the stories.
Yep.
So basically what I'm doing is I'm working with storytellers like the one I just showed you, Nikayla. She's going to be a killer. Like, she has so much raw talent, and she started her own thing, like NFX Film. I think I'm going to mess it up. Something like that. I'll give you the details. And she's going to start taking on clients next year, and she's going to be hosting her entire platform on Flex. So she's running her business on Flex. And so it's going to be really cool because she's got a whole different perspective of me, because she's 21 and she sees me very different from, you know, other people. And then I have brands that I'm working with of people that are my age that are going to be helping me discover some narratives. And the idea is just to show you kind of what the work that goes into this stuff is,
and
rather than tell you how to do it.
NFX Filmed.
Yes, that's it.
NFX Filmed. She have a kid?
No.
Oh, there's a picture. Oh, that's a picture of her probably as a kid.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, see, old bastard. That was probably like somebody.
I know, right?
Somebody just said something that was like, "Oh, this guy," and then they used the slang term that meant you're old.
You're old as fuck. Because I figure everybody has a kid now. Because I'm fucking. Yeah, okay, I have kid. One. Good God! All right, Joey. As always,
this has been
thank
a blast,
you, buddy.
Man.
It is always good. Dose of Joe. Is there? You're not syncing a gram to it or anything like that.
Well, so I'll put stuff on my Instagram, but there's not going to be like a dedicated one. There'll be doseofjoe.com. So that'll be the website that hosts everything. And then there's actually going to be a community to it. So you'll be able to join and then actually interact with the content, the brands that are a part of it. Anybody that I'm mentioning, that I'm talking about, any tools that you see me using, like we've reached out to the brands to see if they want to help out. And
cool.
What I'm trying to do is make tools more accessible. Because I think that guys like you actually use tech in the right way, which is you don't let it demand of things of you. You don't let Instagram tell you what's working. You decide what's working because of your efforts. You just keep putting the effort. And then you buy technology to give you the best tools to do the job. And in my opinion, right now, there's like this gap of knowledge about technology that's like, hey, like we've advanced a lot. You can do more than you think. And maybe it's like that missing piece that you're like, oh, I could just do that on my iPhone? Or, oh, I can just publish it like this? Oh, I can just pay somebody, you know, $150 a month or $800 a month or $2,000 a month. And this whole thing is done like end to end and it's on brand. And that's what I think we can start to show people. So it's just about making things more accessible.
Fuck yeah. All right, buddy.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for coming on, homie.
Hell yeah.
Everyone, peace.